the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. My rock star today, Jonathan Budd. He is the CEO and founder of Power. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with me.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. So tell everyone, what is Power?
You know, Power is a movement, if I can just be totally straightforward.
We like straightforward.
Yeah. You know, we're more of a movement than a business. We want to accelerate the adoption of solar energy worldwide. And we're doing that by empowering, right now, thousands of people. Our aspirations are millions of people to really engage by becoming solar entrepreneurs. So we've built a platform that allows almost anyone to become a solar entrepreneur in all the markets we currently serve, which is 29 U.S. states and Canada.
Amazing. And I think we all know this is important, but
Hopefully. Sometimes
we don't know why. And that's the next step in order to just kind of push us over the edge to be more mindful of using solar energy. So if you could explain why this is so important.
It's absolutely critical. You know, obviously, we have huge business icons like Elon Musk, who have very clearly made the case for why we need to get off fossil fuels, and tons of scientists and everybody else. But there's more to it than just that. It's more than just saving the future of our planet, right? It's just a smarter choice for energy. It limits pollution. It returns energy independence. It puts money back in people's pockets. It's cheaper. It's more efficient. And it's abundant. There's not a limited amount of this stuff that's eventually going to run out. There's 4 billion years of unlimited sunshine. Why are we still digging up fuels, burning them, polluting our planet, and doing it more expensive a lot of the times than the alternative that we have today? It just makes no sense why the world isn't solar powered.
Yeah, the alternative makes way more sense, especially when you explain it the way you did, and has so many more benefits than just benefiting our Earth, which alone is a really good reason, but monetarily, and so many other reasons to go this route. So what inspired you specifically to want to get into this line of work?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a common story, but it seems like there's some commonality to it. But I had another business and I did fairly well at that business and I lost the passion for that business. It just seemed like life wanted to take me in a different direction. And I'm very motivated by that internal feeling of what's driving me. What am I really passionate about? What's going to make me so enthusiastic and excited every single day when I get out of bed that I just can't stop? I want to do that. And if I start to feel that energy wane, it affects my business, right? So my old business stopped getting the best of me. And I felt myself being called into a business that had much more impact, something that I knew was making a bigger difference, that was going to leave a real legacy that lasted way longer than I would, you know, be on this planet for. That's what motivated me. That drove me.
Yeah, you know, almost every entrepreneur that I interview says the number one thing is you have to have passion. And it's a little cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. And that's because it's so true. There is that intangible factor as an entrepreneur that you have to have that energy, that passion. That is what keeps you going. That's what helps you get to that next level, to be sustainable, to ultimately be successful, whatever your definition is, right?
In a huge way. Maybe there's people out there that it's not required in the same way, but I think for most entrepreneurs, if that's not there, then it's just dead.
Yeah. So one of the main messages I know you want to share with our entrepreneurs is that you don't have to come from a pristine background, which I think is amazing because it's so easy as an entrepreneur. You're scared to death to start this endeavor that has no guaranteed results. And there are a million things that can talk you out of starting in the first place. And one of those things can be, I don't know the right person. I don't have enough money. I don't have the best skill set out there. There's so many things that can talk you out of it. But I think you are an amazing example of how you came from humble beginnings, had many challenges, and you turned those obstacles into opportunities. So if you could take us back to, you really had kind of a pivotal moment in your life where you decided, I'm going to change my course and do amazing things. So take me back to that time in high school.
Well, I haven't really shared this story with a lot of people, but I suppose it's time. Yeah, I mean, by the time I was 16 years old, Alex, I was basically looking at doing 90 days in prison. I was already on probation. I had just gotten arrested again. The way that I avoided that was I agreed to go to rehab centers. And for 9 months, you know, my entire junior year in high school, I was gone. I wasn't in high school. I was in different therapeutic programs across the country, which, thank God, I mean, I was even lucky that I had that. And, you know, that was sort of the beginning of the change in my life. But just to give an idea, I mean, it was bad. It was highly probable that my life would have been spent in a prison, not sitting here today. And when I was 20 years old, the sort of the thing that put the finishing touches on everything is that my lifestyle eventually led to me being taken hostage at gunpoint in the middle of the night by two people who broke into my house. And I sort of felt in that moment, after that moment, after that whole experience subsided, that I was going to die if I did not change my life, that I had reached the end of the road, that I had no more chances. This path is leading nowhere. And for whatever luck, I don't know why it happened, but I just decided to change my life. And I went in another direction, and I ignored the noise, and I ignored the old friends, and I just got myself out of that environment, and I did whatever I needed to do to change my life. And when I made that decision, it was like positivity exploded in another direction. So I think a lot of times it really can be as simple as making a decision that you're going to change your life and aligning yourself with that true direction that you really want to be going in and just not stopping. And man, I failed forward. I had nothing. I had no mentors, no background, no experience, no reach, nothing. I mean, it was just like pure luck, stumbling from one thing to another thing to another thing that put me on this path today. So, and I have a very blessed life today.
Yeah, you've really created something huge out of nothing, which is so powerful. And thank you for sharing your story, because people need to hear that. You are such an inspiration, and we are so lucky to have your purposeful work in this world. And one of the things I love most about this story is that it goes to show that sometimes there's so much opportunity at rock bottom. There's something you're meant to find, and how you really had this within you all along, because there are so many books and podcasts and coaches and resources out there that want to teach you how to live in positivity and do amazing things, but you literally just found it within you. You always had it within you, and you just had to, like you said, make that decision. So what advice do you have for someone who maybe is thinking about making that kind of decision to live in positivity and really start moving forward and taking action in their life? What advice do you have for them?
That's a really good point. The first one would be to recognize that you have it in you. You know, we've got to recognize who we truly are in a sense, you know? So if you need a mentor, if you need a guide, if you need whatever you need, go find it, but then own it. Recognize, wow, this is me. I am an amazing human being. I'm capable of amazing things. I have limitless potential inside of me, and I don't need anything else to prove it. I don't need a book. I don't need this. I don't need that. It's all already in here. And I think that's a fundamental place that really powerful people operate from. And it's within every single one of us. It's just that I think a lot of people don't choose it. They don't recognize it. Recognize it. And of course, you can't discount all of the tactics and the techniques and the learning and the education and all of that's required.
It has its purpose, and it's very, very helpful. And I'm sure that you leaned on resources as you grew in your journey as well. But that initial just start to get you going is within you. And I think you really hit on something very important, and that's the self-worth component, is you really do have to have that moment, that aha moment of, I am worthy, I'm deserving, and capability. I am capable of moving forward.
Super good. Yeah, that is beautiful. That was actually the moment that I can remember. I can remember choosing, I'm going to choose to love myself because I'm worth it. And that's why I made the decision to exit that old life and move into a new life. So yes, like that self-worth is almost core to going in the direction and really creating things positively, I think.
And it changed everything.
It changed absolutely everything. And it was a long, it is a journey. Journey never ends. But yes, that was the pivotal moment, changed everything.
This is a perfect time to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about more where you are now and how you got there as you continued that journey. So sit tight. Me too. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 0707. Enjoy.
You shouldn't have to choose.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. We're continuing our powerful conversation with Jonathan Budd, CEO and founder of Power. And we were joking during the break that, okay, hard part's over. Now we can talk about the easy stuff. Not so much. That obviously was probably the most important part, that pivotal moment. But then the work really has just begun because you never arrive. It's always a journey. And you decided you wanted to set out on this entrepreneurial journey. So how did you get into entrepreneurship?
It was literally stumbling in. So I got a call one day from an uncle, family member, he wanted to introduce me to a business opportunity in network marketing. I was 20 years old and I had nothing better going on. So that seemed about the only opportunity I had. And I said, well, what the heck, you know, why not? And that was really my gateway, you know, and the early struggles of just every idea you have for how you're going to win and how you're going to succeed, pretty much failing. You know, at that moment, you can either quit or you can solve the problem and figure out how you're going to succeed. And so you do that enough and you learn a lot.
Yeah. Okay. And then you had your first wildly successful business by the time you were what, 24? Tell me about that business.
26. Yep. 26. So I started a digital publishing company when I was 24, and we did over 10 million in revenue in the first 24 months, basically. That company went on to do about 25 million in revenue before I left and went and started Power. So that was my early 20s, mid-20s, and I think I cut my teeth, you know, as a business person through that company, and now really just getting started, I think, applying those lessons forward.
Yeah, so tell me about what were some of those lessons that you learned through that business that now you have taken with you to Power because they're so helpful.
Well, actually, the businesses are so different. I almost had to throw out everything that I learned. Like nothing that worked in that business worked in this business. In fact, it often held me back. The marketing strategies, the way of thinking, the sort of fast product cycles and just everything, it did not work. It was the antithesis of what was really required to grow Power. So it was very odd. But what I was left from all that experience with was almost just like that nitty grittiness of being an entrepreneur. You know, I had the resources, I had the wherewithal to start the journey to grow Power.
Yeah, and that's a really good point that all that stuff, the logistics, how do you market it? How do you operate it? That can be learned and it must be learned because it's important. But what the constant is you need that grit and yes. that work ethic as an entrepreneur. So what would you say yes. are the qualities you possessed as an entrepreneur that have allowed you to continue to be an entrepreneur and start another business?
A vision that is really motivating and really inspiring. I think that you have to have a vision. You know, you've got to be able to look out into the world, you know, 10 years from today. The longer, the better. One of my really good friends and a great mentor told me that the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire is that a million, and he is a billionaire, so he can actually tell me this. Yeah. A millionaire has a one-year vision. A billionaire has a 20-year vision. And that really stuck with me. And so I think, you know, if you got a one-year vision, great. You can probably build a million-dollar business. But the bigger that vision becomes, the more inspiring it is. If you could literally see how is my company, how is my product, how is my service going to be able to affect people and create value decades from now, you've got something really awesome on your hands.
So other than having a strong vision, what's one more thing that you thought was that intangible every entrepreneur needs to have and that you certainly wanted to have as you went from your first to your second business?
Well, you need a network and you don't need, you know, a network can grow, you know, as you scale. My network today was not my network 10 years ago, right? So at the level of success that you're at, you can grow your network, but you have to be building a network. Like you have to be interacting with other movers and shakers and human beings that are have resources, have skill, have talent, have this, have that. I never really knew the power of my network until I chose to start Power. And I needed my network and I needed them. I needed their advice. I needed their money. I needed their resources. I needed people in a way that I never needed people before. And if I didn't have, if I hadn't invested in all those relationships and spent years with people and kept things going and interacted so many times, I don't think I would have had the network that was really required to build, to launch Power. You know,
and yeah, it's okay to ask for help. I think as entrepreneurs, sometimes we get so used to bootstrapping, especially in the beginning and wearing a bunch of different hats that you can get so focused on doing it yourself, but it's good and necessary to ask for help, right?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not easy. I felt so uncomfortable, Alex, when I first started raising money. I mean, the first business required zero capital. We scaled it from nothing to millions with no capital, right? So asking for money was like this very odd thing.
Yeah.
And it was so uncomfortable and it brought forward so many different, like, you know, oh God, is this me being needy? Is I'm going to annoy this person? Like what's, you know, all these self-worth things, right? And but at the end of the day, you know, that was my growth edge. And I chose to accept it.
And you went the crowdfunding route, right?
Oh, they've raised money from everywhere. So no.
From everywhere,
okay. We've raised millions from angel investors. And then our last round was a $1.4 million round. We did crowdfunding.
Wow. Okay. So tell me about both and what it's like to get angel investment versus crowdfunding and
like crowdfunding.
Insight you have.
Okay. It fits my nature, you know, online marketer, you know, digital publishing.
A lot of storytelling intertwined.
Yeah, storytelling. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's the right way for everybody, but my God, for us, it was phenomenal because it fit so many of my my skills and our team skills. And it's just, yeah, it was a lot more uncomfortable asking everybody for money one by one by one by one.
Versus if you ask a group collectively, yeah, then it's a little
ask a
less
group, make a video and share your story with the world.
Well, I think in general, when you are using your story as a vehicle to ask for something, it's more powerful than feeling like you're just, you know, directly asking. So that's a good lesson for if you are going to angel investors, to the power of storytelling. So it doesn't feel quite as, you know, preachy or whatever. All right. We've got time for one more quick question. What is your number one piece of advice for aspiring and new entrepreneurs?
There is no proven path for what you want to do. So just start. Just do it. because the alternative is that you have no idea what you could be missing out on and losing out on by not doing it. I mean, you have no idea how amazing life can be if you do it, if you take action. So just try.
Once you're on the momentum train, it just keeps going forward, and it's in the action that you can really cultivate and create what you want to create. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, sharing your powerful story, all your amazing insights, and thank you so much for your purposeful work in this world.
It was my pleasure, Alex. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Jen Johnson. I'm co-founder and head lead chef at Hip Chick Farms.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And I'm Serafina Palandek. I am the other co-founder and president of Hip Chick Farms.
I feel like I want to practice saying your name so I can do it, but I'm not going to do it with the cameras rolling. So we talked about company culture a little bit, and we talked about raising money. I want to talk about the raising money part, but first let's talk about company culture. How many employees do you have?
So today we have about nine. We have nine staff people.
Okay. And you recently grew, right? You went from like four to nine.
We went from four to nine.
To one to four to nine.
Yeah.
Big jumps there.
Yeah. And we just closed our Series A.
Congrats.
So we were able to grow our staff, and we will continue to grow our staff.
Well, before we talk about the Series A, let's talk about what you guys are doing now that you have nine people on your team, including yourselves. How are you guys creating an awesome company culture to make sure that it's thriving so you can go from the one to four to nine to 12 to 20? What are you guys doing?
Sure. We just did so we're a very small company, but we just spent 2 days in our planning retreat, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're really trying to do is build a highly functioning team. And I believe the way to do that is to have everybody's input. Everybody can bring their opinions to the table so we can identify what's working, what's not working. Culturally, I'm a very laid back. I don't like to micromanage. So we're really looking for team members who can thrive in that environment of like self-motivation and direction.
Okay. So how do you feel like you're participating in creating this fun environment? You're really the mastermind behind the creation of the product.
Right.
So how do you feel like outside of creating the product that everybody's really building this business off of, mm-hmm. how else do you feel like you're contributing, or what are some cool things you guys do for company culture?
I feel like...
I mean, you're the one making all the food for everybody, I'm sure, at the parties.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that we've gotten... The recognition we've gotten has been all about innovation, and you'd think that for a chicken nugget, that wouldn't be an innovative product, but I think one of the keys to innovation that Jen brings to the table is innovation through simplicity.
Yeah, and that's how I was trained to...
So you're the Steve Jobs of chicken nuggets.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. You know, I mean, it's called KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. And it's so applicable to food. It's simply, you know, pulled or raised on the farm, and then it's brought to the table, brought to the kitchen, and simply prepared, and then served to, you know, people to enjoy. So
something awesome about you, and you guys shared this with me before we dove in. You're going to be going where soon? And cooking for who?
Oh, I'm going to the White House. I was invited by President Obama's steward to and his lead chef to be a guest chef at the White House October 7th. So we're super excited. I know. We've just finalized the menu. I was on the conference call with the White House the other day, and I'm on Facebook. I'm like, ah, voila! It's
cool,
very exciting. And just before the circus comes to town, I get to cook dinner for our President Obama.
What an honor.
Basically.
That'll be super cool if you find some way to leverage that for the brand and be like, the cook behind.
Oh, we already do. We already do. I've got my chef's coat with him.
I am fully.
We've got handmade candies on everyone, our stickers.
Any opportunity I have, like, I come up with crazy ideas all the time, and so does she, but mostly me. And any idea I have, I'll try and leverage into a media opportunity for us, you know, because it's those funny, interesting stories that actually get
sometimes
the press.
It's embarrassing, but it always works. So I have to go with it.
You guys say you're coming up with these crazy ideas, lay some on the table. What are they?
Okay, so do you know what a turkey pardon is? Okay, so every year the president of the United States pardons a turkey. They've been doing that since George Bush's presidency.
Oh, so the turkey won't be killed.
So the turkey harvested. The turkey is presented to the president, and then he pardons it, and then it's not killed.
And it has no idea. It has no idea what's going on.
No. So that's actually directed by the National Turkey Federation. So this year,
the National Turkey Federation.
Yes.
Why am I not surprised?
So this year, I'm determined that Ellen DeGeneres, if you're out there, I'm talking to you.
She's out there.
That she should come to our farm and pardon our turkey.
Yeah, and our turkey just had four little babies. So.
And I read
a letter. That's a little sad. Never mind.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Just various ideas to really reinforce our marketing messages, which is basically our brand identity around chef-driven company or an actual real family farms, homesteading, and humane and transparent ethics and sourcing.
Well, I hope you guys get Ellen to pardon your turkey for you at your farm there. I think
wouldn't
that'd
be great?
Cool. And leverage it on social media.
Yes, totally. Exactly.
The co-founders of Hip Chick Farms are joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What are you guys doing on social media? You said that you're going to take this whole White House thing and you're going to leverage it. So what are some other things that you guys do? I feel like you must have some cool little ninja tricks you're doing on social media.
Yeah, we hired a 21-year-old to do it.
Yeah, that's our ninja
trick. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So Skylar.
Yeah, we hired interns at the beginning
Brilliant.
Of the year. And
Brilliant.
One of them has just been, so now she's our full-time marketing associate, so she knows all of the tricks of the trade. And then layered on top of that, one of the things we did when we had two strategic investors join our board pre this Series A, and very well connected within the industry, and one of them brought a marketing director who has this incredible history background, so Amanda is helping me create strategy,
okay,
and then Skylar's implementing. And then we're kind of in between, filling some of the gaps there. So that's kind of our marketing strategy. In terms of actual social, we've started working with influencers, which we're really excited about. We've had some targeted Instagram ads, and we're just doing pay-per-click. We're just doing the SEO work.
Yeah.
So we're really just starting on that stuff, and the SEO has been, I was surprised by how influential that's been. It's like almost doubled our social in 3 weeks.
Millions of people are searching for stuff. Figure out what those keyword searches are.
Search for Hip Chick Farms.
Or chicken nugget.
Exactly.
Right? We want to be number one.
Because they're typing in chicken nuggets.
See, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So.
If they're typing in Hip Chick Farms, they're going to find it. But it's when they're typing in chicken nuggets or organic chicken.
Yeah.
You guys come up for that.
And the targeted pay-per-clicks is fascinating, like how specific you can get on who you target.
So specific.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Bethlehem producers.
Yes, you can get so specific.
I didn't say that. Yeah.
What are you guys doing for sales and marketing? I know that that's really your space. So how do you guys make sure that you're generating and converting the types of products and pushing it out that you want to be doing? Because at the end of the day, you're in a noisy space. First, tell me, are you guys selling more brick and mortar online? So how are you selling and what are you guys doing?
So we are 100% in retail. We don't do any online sales. We're not really looking at food service because we're building a brand. So we're only looking at brand identity.
So that's the social media strategy is all building the brand.
Awareness. Yeah, and to drive trial. So we're seeking to get into more doors, drive trial, and then convert folks. So I think we have a couple of opportunities. The stores want the products. Mm. That's the good news. So we're getting onto shelves relatively easy. I go out and do sales calls myself all the time. Okay. But our opportunity and challenge is to really get people to buy it. And then folks who don't necessarily shop in the freezer aisle, I think our brand has the potential to be a converter brand. It's a brand that can drive people into the frozen aisle who don't normally shop there because they don't actually know. And our job is to educate that our brand is there and the reasons why they should start shopping
and
frozen
aisle. And demos in the stores have been really influential for that.
I feel like that's the
key, haven't had the finances to really do that. But now, since we got our funding, we have a demo team out there just hitting it hard. Because one, you have to taste it. Mm. I mean, first you see it with your eyeballs. And we have a great package. Our packaging is awesome. Really pops, and then they have to taste it, and then. So.
But I think that's why our brand can become not just a middle-sized brand, but can really turn into a giant brand, is because we have that potential to convert folks.
What do you guys think is going to be the key that's going to push you over the edge to getting to the bigger and bigger and bigger brand?
Well, funding certainly helped.
Funding.
Because we needed the funding behind us to really, you know, do our marketing plan. The funding is all about marketing and infrastructure, right? That's it.
Yeah.
So now that we have that in place, I'm really excited to see where we can go.
It's exciting. I know that if you guys got your Series A, then you continue to go up the ladder. The growth should just be inevitable if you guys are starting to really prove the model, especially in the grocery stores. You just start to duplicate it and take it into all the stores once it works. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Kind of shift gears here real quick. I want to know, what is either one of the craziest or one of the funniest things that's happened to you guys in your business endeavor so far? Craziest or funniest?
Crazy. Every day?
Yeah. There's always, trust, there's always something. We should write a book. We are writing a book, actually. We're writing a cookbook.
Yeah, we are.
let's see. One of our factories accidentally used cayenne pepper instead of paprika.
Oh,
on like a 10,000 pound run.
So have the new product, a
child's,
spicy chicken
kind of a kid's chicken fingers, spicy chicken finger.
We've had all kinds of crazy things happen.
What do you do in a situation like that?
She sold them to somebody else. She sold them as a specialty.
I sold them to a friend of mine that owns a restaurant, and she was more than happy to buy them from me.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How expensive of a waste would that have been?
A lot.
We've had to
eat a lot of crow. That's for sure.
We one time we bought, I don't know, tens of thousands of pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breast, and it had bones and skin in it. That was a bummer.
So what do you do? Do you ask for a refund?
It away. Yeah.
They don't refund?
I mean, it's a long story, but we lost some money on that.
Wow.
That's what insurance is for.
Yeah.
That's some pretty crazy stuff. What about a funny one?
Yeah, well,
none of those were funny. Those are all crazy and potentially financially dangerous.
Yes, I don't know about funny.
You guys, the second I even ask, you start laughing. So you know you've got stories, you just don't want to share them.
I'm sure we have many, many of them. We were recently on a show called West Texas Investors Club.
That was funny.
That was funny. That was an experience. We've had some really funny.
What were you on there for?
It's
like Shark Tank meets Survivor.
Yeah. So again, we were there raising money, and we got a $500,000 investment on that show as well.
As we come to a wrap, what do you feel like is one word that either describes yourself or your business?
Perseverance.
Determined.
Yeah. Perseverance and determined. I love that. Guys, it's been a pleasure having
you
on the show. I'm going to have to check out some of these organic chicken nuggets.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Regardless of your industry, an overworked staff means an underserved clientele. Here are a few business tips for dealing with explosive growth. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Step one, keeping communication channels open. It's important that you stay in tune with the general tone that the staff has. This includes everybody, not just your managers. Two, promote from within, create staff loyalty and company consistency. Step three, support your managers and your team. Whether you're promoting outside employees or bringing in new talent to expand, make sure that your managers and all your employees have the support they need to do their jobs well. Remember, you hired them and exactly what you want them to do for you. If at all possible, avoid adding more tasks to an already full docket. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Here's some great news. If you miss the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by ASUS.
It's like slipping on a pair of prescription glasses for the first time, as everything becomes super crisp and clear. That's what going from 4K to 8K is all about, with Samsung's new TVs. And behind it all is something called quantum dot technology. Scott Cohen from Samsung explains.
So, you know, when we're talking about QLED with Samsung, we are talking about a technology called quantum dot. And the reason Samsung has made these advancements in quantum dot and applied them to our TV has to do with color accuracy and color brightness. So when we think of a Samsung QLED, first and foremost, that's Samsung's flagship line of TVs. That's the best TVs we make. It's based on quantum dot because using the technology of quantum dot, we can get the full color spectrum accurate in any brightness condition.
More info is at Samsung.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by ASUS.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I am joined by Viola Lee. She's the co-founder of Raw Green Organics. And we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles in entrepreneurship today, which there are a lot of them, aren't there? Just yes. A few that you've probably encountered. Let's start from the beginning when you transitioned from more of a 9-to-5, maybe it was 9-to-6, 7 job, to starting your business. What was the first obstacle you encountered?
I think the first obstacle is you really need to make a commitment and just go for it. When you start worrying about, well, am I going to get, you know, am I going to start making X amount of dollars? Is it going to come in? Am I going to get it funded within the first month? I mean, you can't, that just has to go out the door. You have to make a commitment and just go for it and know that you may or may not have a salary for a while.
I always say
which
that, right? No, I always say that entrepreneurship is so much mental too. Yeah. You have to maintain your confidence and, you know, it's natural for fear, self-doubt and worries to creep in. But how do you deal with those icky feelings and move past them?
Well, I would have to, if I were to say I woke up every morning thinking, wow, this is, I'm on the top of the world, I'd be lying.
Yeah, which is refreshing. So yeah, thanks for being honest.
I'd be lying. There are so many things out there. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes when you start, you don't know what you don't know. So you might think that you have a great plan because you're really good at one thing. And, you know, you never fail. Everything that you plan seems to work out. And you might think that you had a couple backup plans and things are going to work out. But there's always going to be a bump in the road in everything you do. And I think the one thing is to never be afraid of failing. And that's okay, because you have to have thick skin. You'll fail, or someone's going to say that, you know, that was a stupid idea, or that is completely idiotic, and fine. You know, you take what they have to say, you know, look at it, and there's never any bad advice. All advice is somewhat good advice because it's something that you didn't know before, right? And I think that you just take that and you just keep on going. You can't be afraid to fail.
How do you differentiate the people who are giving constructive criticism and maybe destructive criticism? Because there's a lot of haters out there, right?
Yeah, there is. I mean, people with there are going to be both. People with constructive criticism are going to give you criticism on a product, and they'll tell you why, because of these four things.
And they have your best interest in mind.
They have your best interest, right? Definitely. And their views may or may not be wrong. or they might be right. I'm not sure, but you should definitely take them into consideration. And then there are people who just tell you, well, that's stupid. But why? And they don't, they're just maybe writing you off because it's not important to them, or they don't find that it's interesting. So, you know, there's something for everyone, and not everyone's going to be interested in what you do.
And going back to the failure part, it sounds like a lot of it's just perspective. Instead of seeing it as, oh, shame on me, I made a mistake, it's like, okay, I can learn from this, right?
And definitely. So if you're in a job before where you might have been the A-plus student, A-plus employee, and you're always, you know, going through projects and you're the best of the best and you always did it well, but sometimes it's different when you don't have as many resources. You have to make do with what you have. And there might, things are not going to be perfect. You may not have a perfect business plan the first time around. And a business plan always, God, it's always changing. It's always changed like a moving target. So when you fail, it's just, it happens.
Just keep, pick yourself back up and keep moving forward.
Pick yourself up and keep on going, because if you believe in something, then that's all that matters. Just keep on going for it. And that's what's going to drive you.
Totally. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and I am joined by Viola Lee. She's the co-founder of Raw Green Organics. Now, it's very busy being an entrepreneur. How do you maintain a little bit of work-life balance?
Well, for me, now that I have a two-year-old, it is tough. I just have to squeeze it in, if anything. Working out is like, I actually have to pencil it into my calendar.
Is that one of the tips you have for entrepreneurs, is actually scheduling outside of work things?
Yes, scheduling in. The workout, it's scheduled, it's on the calendar, you know, at 7:40 in the morning, it's scheduled in. And sometimes if it's a 40-minute workout, it's a 40-minute workout. You get a spin class in, it's great. And, you know, I try to multitask too. So I have a long commute, so I do all my calls in the car. I try to get as much done as I can on my kind of downtime.
Do you think it's possible for entrepreneurs to have it all, to have a thriving work and home life?
I think it's possible, and it definitely takes the support of your spouse or your significant other or other people in your life, definitely. And I have, you know, the support of my husband, so it's great.
Yeah, and so your business has been in business for many years now. You guys are growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. What's been the main obstacle you've experienced as you've been growing?
I think that we were growing, and we were okay with, you know, growth, small growth, you know, here and every year, and we were doing fine. And then we got to a point where we said, yeah, we really need something that's going to give us a jump to the next level. And I think that that's kind of where we are now, and we're going to go through a process of a little bit of a brand refresh, taking into consideration, looking at the marketplace and what's out there, incorporating a lot of the Ayurvedic type herbs that have been selling separately. We're trying to incorporate into a lot of our protein food, so that can be taken by people easily. They're getting the functional benefits of the herbs, the vitamins, and the proteins.
What has been a challenge with being a boss and managing other people?
Well, so a lot of it's just everyone has a personality, and everyone's got their own personality, and you just have to work with it. And a lot of things, I think that my goal is to make sure that everyone on my team is successful, because their success is going to contribute to my success. I cannot be successful unless every single one of them is successful. So my job is really to make sure that they have everything they need, and all the tools and all they need to get their job done. So a lot of the times, well, I might just say, God, I'm just going to do it myself because I can get it done. But that doesn't work that way. You know, you really need to give your team members a lot of, I guess, autonomy. I mean, there is some structure, but autonomy allows them to be more creative in what they do.
Totally. Thanks so much to my guest, Viola Lee. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.